12:11, Wintrust Business Lunch. John Williams here with John Beaver. He's the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services. Welcome back, John. I trust you're well.
I am very well, and the sun is shining.
Yeah, okay. Enough about the weather now. Are the markets shining, too? You optimistic about maybe the first quarter? Where's your head today?
Yeah, so, well, it seems to be recession one day, recovery the next. And
exactly.
It's been a busy week with economic stats. And the stats show still a strong economy. But the bottom line of this whole thing is our favorite phrase, don't fight the Fed. And the Fed is in the process of slowing the economy and raising interest rates. So that's kind of the bottom line. But how do you actually play that, given what we're seeing right now? That's the real question. And today, the market is down. The market seems to be range-bound. It certainly could go lower from here. It could go higher. So what is that investor to do? That's what I'd like to talk about today. The most important thing is be patient. If you're an investor in the stock market, the most important thing is to be patient and do not put your short-term money in the stock market.
What do you mean by that? Say that again. Do not put your short-term money in the stock market, meaning don't expect a quick return.
Exactly right, especially in an environment like this. So now that we can actually get some return on our short-term money, short-term bonds, any money that's going to be used in the next 5 years should really be in a portfolio of bonds, and that could include CDs. It could be treasury bonds. And having some a little bit of inflation protection in there is not a bad idea either. So you could use some treasury inflation-protected securities. Those are bonds that have a little bit more of a variable rate return. And even some I-bonds, which were really in the news big time fourth quarter of 2022, but they're still paying 6.89%.
That's crazy. And by the way, you're absolutely right about how every single day we were getting questions about I-bonds. But you just said short-term money 5 years, you should be in bonds. 5 years, you don't think we should be in the market for, we should not be reinvesting in the indexes for 5 years?
No, I really feel that the money that you have invested in the market, you've got to have at least a five-year-plus time frame on. Let's think about what happens in these declines. Market drops, and then it comes back. The recovery time is usually twice the pace or twice the amount of time as the decline. So this last year, the market topped out at the beginning of the year and bottomed out the beginning of October. So you're looking at about 9 months. If we have a 9-month decline, we should be expecting an 18-month rally to get back to the previous high. Oh, but what if we do have that recession this year? The market's likely to stall a little bit more, maybe put in a newer low, not quite sure. So maybe we're looking at 14, 15, 16, maybe even 17 months on the downside. You have to double that for the upside. So you could be looking at, from top to top, you could be looking at a 4-year period. Doesn't mean you can't make money in those 4 years, but you shouldn't be dependent on your stock money during that 4-year period. The best way to play that is put your money in a month at a time, dollar cost averaging. We've talked about that before. That's easy to do in your 401k, but what if you're retired? How do you dollar cost average when you retire? Well, you keep some money on the sidelines that you don't need for 10 years, and you stage that money in a month at a time to take advantage of the volatility. And so when the market gets back to the previous high, all those purchases have made money, and then you can snag the gains and do it all over again.
I understand dollar cost averaging, but you don't think that you don't anticipate that people will be making money on those investments but for 5 years. And bonds have not been a safe haven right now, right?
Well, they weren't a safe haven for last year. We actually had the worst 18-month period in bonds in our entire history, going all the way back to 1789, first Treasury bond issued by Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, it was the worst 18 months ever because interest rates quadrupled. It's hard to find a period of time where interest rates have quadrupled, and certainly not quadrupled in an 18-month period. It's a very short period of time. We're through that now, though. Interest rates could push a little bit higher, but we're not looking. I certainly hope we're not looking at a quadrupling of rates now from 4 to 16. That would be like the 1970s all over again. But at this point in time, most of the risk is out of the market, so you can safely re-enter the bond market. And again, we can get 4.5% to 5% on 2 to 3 year bonds right now. That's a really nice place to put your short-term money.
Okay, we'll pick it up here in a minute. John Beaver's on the line. I want you to clarify when we come back then how I play the market, the stock markets, because on the one hand, you're saying put money in, dollar cost average, but on the other hand, you're saying don't expect anything from that money. Well, then why would I do it? We'll pick it up there in a minute. John Beaver's talking to us. John, just be clearer about that. Not that you weren't, but I just want to reiterate the point, because I thought 5 years as a time horizon for getting your money back on investments in the stock market was kind of notable. But that's what you're thinking. Continue to dollar cost average. Continue to put money into your mutual fund, but don't think you're going to get above water for maybe as long as 5 years. Do I hear you right on that?
Yeah, and that's really to set expectations so that we don't get impatient, because the biggest mistake we make as investors is getting impatient. And think about the messages that investors are getting, right? So first of all, well, so goes January, so goes the rest of the year. Okay, so January's up, so that means this will be a good year. Oh, and this is the third year of a presidential cycle. That's also a good year. So this should be a good year. Oh, but we're going to have a recession. So that means the market's going to go down. You know, all of these mixed signals, and especially now with what the Federal Reserve is doing, everybody trying to read the tea leaves. So just set all that aside. Recognize that it's very often that the market can go through a 3, 4, or 5 year period of digesting gains. That means dropping and then coming back again. And especially in a rising inflationary environment. Back to think of the 1950s and 60s, a rising inflationary environment, not out of control, but just rising inflation. That dance of the market was 3 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 1 step back. And so we're in the 1 step back right now. And that 1 step back can take 1 to 2 years on the downside, therefore can take 2 to 4 years on the upside. So I like to tell my investors, get that 5-year time set. Don't expect to make any money over the next 5 years. Just dollar cost average that money in. And one of these days, the market will make a new high.
But if I'm 65, maybe I might not need money for my 401k until I'm 70. So this is a buying opportunity. If I'm 75 and I need that available cash more readily, and I can't suffer losses, then bonds or something else, right?
Yeah, and you just said it's when do I need the money? It really has nothing to do with age, right? There are people in that 45 and 50 that need that money in order to pay for college education for their kids. And you're right, there's people at 65 that might not need the money for 5 or 10 years. So it's identifying your particular need for your money and your time frame.
What number is surprising you right now? Is it inflation? What is bedeviling to you?
Yeah, it is how persistent this economy is. It is very resilient. The economy tends to be resilient at the start of inflation. And the consumer just keeps spending like crazy. So that's keeping inflation running pretty strong. We've got a consumer that continues to add to their credit card debt. We've got new highs in credit card balances, and yet the consumer is still out there spending as if there's no tomorrow. That's a little bit confounding.
What are you making about government debt then?
Big problem. That is actually the most important issue, but it's not urgent. So because it's not urgent, it's really not getting the attention. So we got $31.4 trillion worth of government debt. And compare that to our GDP in a year, which is $25 trillion. Anytime your government debt exceeds your GDP, that is not a good situation. The last time that actually happened was World War II, at the end of World War II, and we got that paid back down within a year. But this has been persistent for over 5 years now, and that creates the challenge. Yeah. So we can't have anything off the table. Everything has to be talked about, but of course each side is blaming the other side, and each side wants to get the win, and so they're arguing about that rather than solving the issue.
Well, what do you make then of a sunset provision for things like Social Security?
So it's Social Security in terms of just taking it, completely eliminating it, that's never going to happen. We don't want that to happen. But we do need to make some changes to the system, and that's really what we need the experts to sit down in a room and go, hey, this is the solution that makes most sense. One that makes sense to me is you just don't index it fully for inflation. And yeah, that's painful. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not popular. But the reality is it's like a family. You look at your budget. If you're overspending and you got those high credit card balances, you have to make some hard decisions.
There's other ways to tweak, I guess, Social Security, raise the age by which you would get it, or increase the cap so that people that make $1 million pay Social Security taxes on all of their dollars. You could do that too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of solutions out there. And there's a lot of people that actually want to work on those solutions and have solutions. It's just trying to get some way to unite both parties to work on it together.
Well, did I see that the budget office said that they're expecting another $18 trillion of debt being piled on the 31 we've already got?
Yeah. In fact, I thought I saw the number was $19 trillion over 10 years, the Congressional Budget Office. And actually, I think the number will be even larger than that as we look at the numbers. And so you're talking 50, 60, 70 trillion dollars of debt a couple of decades down the road. That's why it has to be dealt with. It has to be looked at. And some type of a bipartisan commission could actually make something happen.
Debt isn't always a bad thing. I mean, I wonder if that number were small. It doesn't have to be zero, does it, for your purposes?
No, it doesn't have to be zero. It just has to be less than what our GDP is. So if we could hold the line on spending, no more deficit spending, just hold the line, keep the debt where it's at, and let the GDP grow over the next 10 years, problem is solved.
Holding the line on spending includes automatic increases in spending, raises, inflation, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and you just kind of put your finger on the problem because that's a big part of the budget. And it's not just those automatic increases and all those benefits that are out there. It's also the increase in the interest that the government is paying on that $31 trillion, right? So right now we have interest rates going up. That, you know, it's pushing up mortgage rates. Well, it's also pushing up the interest rate that the government pays on that $31 trillion. So if we just simply double the interest rate that the government is paying, I think it's a little bit under 2%, if we were to go to 4%, we'd be paying twice the amount on the interest payments every year that they're paying right now. And they don't have enough money to make the interest payments, so they have to borrow the money to pay the interest payments.
Looking at my producer, Pete. We have time for another question. Pete says, nah, you got to talk to him more next time. It's always interesting talking to you, John Beaver. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Looking forward to the next time.
Yeah, we'll do it. Financial Advisor Phase 3. Advisory Services Phase 3, advisory.com. WGN Radio News is next.